1 year ago today, the Camp Fire tore through Paradise, California. 86 people died, and 90% of the town was burned to the ground. It is the deadliest wildfire in modern California history. Our co-host Tanya Mosley has been reporting in Paradise this week, and she's here with us now. Tanya, welcome. How are you?
I am well. Thank you, Peter.
And how's it going there? I can imagine this is probably a tough day for people.
It really is a hard day. A lot of folks we spoke with really just want to get all of the memorials and commemoration ceremonies out of the way because the big focus is getting their lives back together. I actually met a mom who's going to have her son's 13th birthday party today, and they're all focused on that intentionally because they're really wanting to move forward. It's just an example of how people are really focused on the present. And also being prepared for the next fire, which really is the new normal here.
Well, let's talk about that, because I know the town is trying to rebuild. We see that residents have applied for 450 permits to rebuild their homes, but only 11 have actually done so. Why is that? Are people finding it hard to come back into town and to move on?
There's so many things. Money is really the biggest hurdle. About 20% of Butte County residents actually live in poverty here, and a significant portion of those folks did not have homeowners or renters insurance. And then there are still hundreds of people living in these FEMA housing and trailers across the county, and they have to repeatedly reapply and show that they need the housing. And you can imagine how exhausting that can be. But to the money issue, once you receive your permit, you have 1 year to build. And a lot of people are still trying to earn enough money to rebuild on their properties. And a lot of folks are even struggling to qualify for some of the government and nonprofit assistance programs. We actually spoke to a woman named Inez Salinas. She lives in Concow, which is a rural community right next to Paradise and was actually hit by the fire first. And she feels that because she was living off the grid and not relying on the electric company PG&E, she is less able to access housing.
I'm one of the people who fell through, like, the cracks. I didn't have insurance. The property I was living on didn't have a physical address. I had no paper trail. That's part of living off grid for me. So I don't qualify for the long-term recovery for most of the programs.
Inez now lives in a tiny house with her 3-year-old daughter as part of a program here, and there is reportedly a wait list of 500 people for those homes. She happened to be one of the first ones to get one.
Yesterday, you introduced us to some families who are trying their hardest to rebuild. Must be very emotionally taxing, not just today, but, you know, all year trying to get this done.
Absolutely. And people really are just at the starting line. And the challenges that I mentioned are the ones that are really visible. Then they're the ones that you can't see, like the loss of the people you love. It's a struggle 51-year-old Skye Sedgwick deals with every day. She lost her father, John Christopher Sedgwick, in the Camp Fire.
He was an author, a musician, an astrologist, a logger, a nurse. He was many things. He was my dad.
And he carried out his duty as father right up until the end. He and Skye lived together on a plot of land that has been in the family for generations. On the morning of the campfire,
I woke up November 8th to my dad pounding on my door, my bedroom door, saying, get up, Skye, get up. There's fire coming up over the ridge. He sounded very matter-of-fact. There was nothing like... My dad was a former volunteer fireman. There was nothing, like, super alarming in his voice. It was just, matter of fact, get up, there's a fire coming up over the ridge.
Skye did what she was told, gathered a few things, and then turned to her father.
I said, Dad, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to stay here from now. And I said, Dad. And he just gave me that stubborn-ass look. And he gave me directions on which way he wanted me to walk from the house. So he gave me his last little... bit of advice, and I followed it, and I walked through the woods. When I walked through the woods, at that point, there were embers, large embers falling. That was scary. That was one of the scariest times of my life.
Skye's father stayed behind and tried to save their home. And later that night, at 82 years old, he went out to help a crew put out a fire at a local favorite called the Depot.
So he was down there trying to save this historic building, and the sugar pines caught fire above the depot, and the fire crew was told to retreat. And that fireman specifically asked my dad to please come with us. And my dad said, no, I'm going to go on up the hill. He didn't make it up the hill. But he died a hero's death. Absolutely. My father, John Christopher Sedgwick, was a hero.
Sky now lives in a FEMA trailer, 45 minutes away from Paradise, in the town of Gridley. But she can only stay there until May. Meanwhile, she's waiting on the soil on her property to be tested to see if it's safe for her to return home. She'll then get a trailer on that property and live there until she can save up enough money to build a house.
It's a beautiful little piece of property. It's the smell of sage and serpentine and manzanita, and which are all smells I associate with my father. It gets the first morning sun, and he loved it.
There are tremendous hurdles renters and homeowners like Sky have to jump through if they want to return to Paradise in the surrounding areas. For renters, there just aren't enough apartments and houses. And for those who want to build, there are more than a dozen permits needed, and a lot of those permits have to do with building in a way that is fire-resistant. So many of the homes that caught fire last year were made of wood. Mayor Jody Jones, who also lost her home in the fire, says the issue of affordability is also heavy on her mind. So many people were attracted to living here because it's one of the last affordable places in California.
And we've kind of walked this fine line between what are the requirements for rebuilding going to be and affordability. You don't want to put so many requirements on people that they can't afford to rebuild their homes.
The city is taking over an old bank building over the next few weeks and bringing in experts in insurance, housing, and financial services to help folks going through the rebuilding process. And then there's the task of luring back businesses. Earlier this week, the last of the debris was hauled out of Paradise, 3 million tons over the last year. But eerily still standing are fast food and gas station signs next to empty lots. The mayor says there's so much to think about.
We need a new emergency notification system. We've applied for a grant for that. We've applied for grants for the roadways. We're working on a sewer system because our downtown did not have one before the fire, and it's been very limiting. So to bring businesses back, we need to get that sewer.
63-year-old Lance Watts says he's gotten used to traveling a few miles up the road to Chico to do things like eat and shop. What he misses most are his neighbors.
I miss everybody. All my friends are gone. All the people that I know in this town are gone. And it really brings tears to my eyes. I'm telling you, I'm about to cry right now because I didn't realize how important all these folks were in my life. I want my town back. So I'm trying to raise money to help those folks, which is probably 75% of the folks here that didn't have the prime insurance. They need help or they're never coming back.
Mayor Jones can't help but be optimistic that with enough support, people will return. She can't wait for this anniversary date to be over so they can all look to the future.
We're pioneers. We're building an entire town pretty much from scratch. And there are a lot of challenges to that rebuild process. It's not easy. It's pretty stressful and arduous, and people are up for it. They want to do it, and they look at themselves as the next generation of pioneers here on the ridge.
Lance Watts ponders that idea of being pioneers. He likes it, and he plans to live out the rest of his days in Paradise. But with so many other wildfires burning in this state, there's also something else on his mind.
Well, people always watch the most recent thing. And I hate to say it, but in reality, we're competing with the latest disaster, and it's been a year.
His plea, and that of thousands of others who still call this place home, please don't forget about Paradise. For Here and Now, I'm Tanya Mosley in Paradise, California.